Let's go. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Let's Deep It. This is part two of episode one on mental health, anxiety and depression. And again, I'm back with my boys Hanan and Saeed. As you guys know from obviously the first episode, we spoke of our own experiences dealing with mental health issues, anxiety and depression. And do you know what? The feedback we got from that, overwhelming.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah, I do agree. I think there's a lot of people reached out.
Yeah.
And I think it was a bit worrying that there's a lot of people out there suffering, but I think it's good to hear because then at least, you know, you're in a position to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That was, I think, the most saddening thing for me, knowing that many people were obviously going through their own struggles and their own battles. And I think, again, so many people that we know on a personal basis, you don't see it. You don't expect them to be going through that that kind
I
of
think
stuff.
It's that conception that, you know, misconception, because you're thinking, you know, you follow somebody off social media and you would just never have guessed it from the way they're treating, the way they're sort of putting up posts and acting. But behind that, there's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think that it's a good thing that we're talking about it and hopefully we can help people with this.
Yeah. Especially like, I had a few close friends and a few of my own cousins as well. They're like, we're really proud of you for being able to speak out about such a sensitive topic.
I'm proud of you, bruv. Well,
I'm proud of you too, bro.
Well, thank you, man.
Danzin, what is this behavior? Yeah.
Get off my back. But yeah, do you know what? Like, and I'm so appreciative of the fact that you guys have opened up to us and the fact that what we've said has benefited you guys in the sense that you know that other people are going through the similar stuff that you're going through. And I didn't expect this reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you guys have shared a lot of your stories with us and we're going to cover them briefly in this episode and try help you guys out as much as we can. And I think a common theme amongst the stories that I got, and I know that the ones that you got, Hanan, and you, Saeed, was social anxiety, paranoia, and obviously, you know, seeking the approval of others, which I think is something that we all
can relate with.
I think it's something naturally that sort of comes to you when you're in that position.
Yeah.
Again, like the whole sort of social anxiety, if you touch upon it, I think it's just naturally you start second guessing everything you're doing.
Yeah.
So you start thinking, you know what, am I fitting in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should I say something? Should I do something different?
And
because you know what you're going through, you know, you notice the change within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start second guessing everything you do.
You're very conscious of how you are, especially when you know that you're going through, you know, these mental issues.
Yeah.
You're conscious about how people are perceiving you.
Without doubt.
Yeah. Starting with social anxiety, I think, as you mentioned, I think in, you know, part one was developing a healthy lifestyle and healthy habits. I think going to sleep on time and getting enough sleep is, you know, a big, you know, factor into it.
Yeah.
I think, again, with the whole sort of social anxiety, I think don't put too much pressure on yourself to sort of get yourself out there. Like, you know, take your time, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's like small talk.
Yeah.
You can just, whether it's to your colleagues, family, just saying, hey, how are you? Have that small conversation and build on that. Rather than expecting, you know what, I need to be out there and I need to be going parties, I need to be going, you know,
it is
social gatherings, like, you know.
Yeah.
Manage like, at your own pace.
Like you said, I feel like people when they are facing through that adversity, they don't want to be in a social environment, they'd rather be stuck within their four walls. But once you kind of like give yourself that extra push to go out your way and socialize with other people, you realize it does become a lot more easier for you to like get back into the way you were.
I do agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so it's not the case where, like, you know, you're alone in this situation. There's so much out there. Like, I don't think people realize. Something I wanted to mention was there's actually a place called Dragon Calf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In central London.
Yeah.
If you guys want to check it up online, it's a little cafe. It's run between, I think, about midday till about 7-ish.
Okay.
And what they do is they'll have you around, you know, you book yourself in, you have like a massage area, you have yoga.
Oh, nice.
And they do sort of little
massages in that. I might need to hit that up.
Yo.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because you know what? Stuff like
did
yoga,
you say free?
Yeah, it's free. It's free for people that, you know, are suffering with these kind of like issues. Mm. And it's just there to sort of help you sort of communicate with people and sort of let loose and sort of relax.
Yeah.
And I think stuff like it, so whole yoga. And it's just sort of finding that balance within yourself. And even those small steps where you're out there, you're playing games or you're sort of you know, interacting. That
any
helps,
sort of social engagement, helps you come back to where you originally, your original form was.
I think going back to what you said just like a minute ago, with the small steps and everything, be proud of the accomplishments that you're making. Even regardless of how small they are, they are all steps to your road of getting better.
Yeah. It's progression. Because even if you do slip up and you do go back to your bad habits, at least you know you made that attempt to better yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, ideally, like, even if you do slip up, you have tomorrow available there for you to make that change again. And like you said, like, you can fall down 7 times, but you got to get back up 8 times.
Yeah. Look at you being all philosophical and that.
I was watching Rocky yesterday.
And I think identifying your negative thinking patterns, figuring out what the catalyst of your anxiety is, you know, tracing it back to the start and start combating that.
Yeah. Without doubt.
You know?
Because I feel like...
you got to work out what it is that...
causes it, yeah.
Triggered you. Yeah. Like, it could be, you know, if it's the case where, you know, like, you're in an environment at home where, you know, you don't really talk to anyone.
You're isolated,
you're
not really
out and about. I think first thing you should do is put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do what you're lacking in.
Yeah.
So whether it's that or whether it's that you are in a sociable place, but you're not finding people that match up with your personality, mm-hmm. your interests. Find someone that does.
And I think that alone is a big common cause within students, especially because I know a lot of people that have lived out in accommodation and they get so isolated within their four walls because they're so confused. And I think that's where they physically become consumed by their own thoughts, which hence leads them to become more anxious and depressed.
Mm.
It kind of sucks because within that environment, you're so restricted from not being able to see family or not being in an area that you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So it's pretty difficult venturing out to a new place.
I think a basic one is if you're going through severe anxiety, try to avoid, you know, stimulants that enhance, you know, your anxiety levels, like caffeine and energy drinks and coffee and tea. Obviously, some of us need it to get through the mornings and the days, but they are causes of, you know, enhanced anxiety.
I think
if you've already got it.
To just touch up on that as well, I think a big mistake people make is because you have that fear in your mind that you don't want to go to sleep just in case something bad happens to you. And like, you're in that anxious mindset.
Yeah.
So you end up drinking all these Red Bulls, coffee, tea, just to keep you awake.
Mm.
And that alone, you don't understand it. But once you see it, it's ruining your sleeping schedule. It messes up your routine so bad. You're up at like 6 a.m. awake, struggling to sleep.
And that adds to the pressure that you've already got. Cause then whether you've got work or uni, you're not sleeping well, so you're not focused.
You're exhausted.
Physically there.
Yeah.
And that just adds to it. And I think that's what you need to realise is there's a lot of bad habits that come with falling in depression and facing anxiety.
Yeah.
And the first thing we should try and do is try and remove those bad habits, mm-hmm. change that, change your lifestyle you're living.
Yeah.
And then start thinking about, you know, putting myself out there.
Yeah. It's not going to be an easy task, to be honest. Yeah. Like, you just need to have that perseverance.
Again, what we touched on was the small steps.
Yeah, take the baby steps.
You know what, like, for some people what might help is putting it out there. Like, you know, if you've got a diary, if that helps you, write it down. You know what, today I took small steps. And you can look back at it and
reflect that. I've made that progression. Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I feel like self-perception is a big factor in people becoming quite socially, you know, awkward.
Yeah.
The way that they perceive themselves and obviously social media as well, the way other people perceive themselves and showcase themselves on social media, what you need to realise is, you know, it is a front.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the life that people are living. We show what we want people to see on social media.
And the fact that... How often do you see people put up the negative stuff about their life?
Never.
You don't.
Never,
yeah.
And it's so easy to fall in that trap by thinking, oh my gosh.
This person's like, you know, living I could such be there a thinking, lavish life.
Tansby's got everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's living the life. Yeah. He's my age. Why haven't I got it? And then naturally you start, you know, questioning yourself where you're at and then... Yeah. Second guessing everything you do.
Yeah.
But, you know, what for myself, what I need to realise is, you know what, he's only shown the good.
Yeah.
Like, he might be in a worse position than me.
100%, yeah.
Like, it's all sort of materialistic stuff. It's all for the eye.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it. And I think that's the first step you need to take, yeah.
I think a lot of people perceive that they need to be a certain way in order to satisfy the needs of others. For example, like, I'm bringing Kim K into this, boy. You always see Kim Kardashian promoting like these slim fit tees because her ideology is that you're not perfect if you're not a certain waist size.
Yeah, 100%.
The way society says it now is you're not perfect if you're not a Kardashian or the way the Kardashians are anyway.
Yeah, you gotta be like
you basically need a lip job. Six. You need plastic surgery. What's it, Dr. Miami? That's the guy. Yeah, you need to have his line. You need to speed down Dr. Miami.
How do you know about Dr. Miami? That's a real question.
You think this?
Sorry, yeah. Now that we mention it, you might need a little lip job as well, to be honest, bruv.
Don't worry, we'll sort you something out for your hat, though.
You're getting a bit personal now, bruv.
These are indirects, bro. I'm not ready for these shots.
You're not invited onto the next podcast.
If you guys want to be on this podcast.
So you guys can say your goodbyes to Saeed now, because he's
got a vacancy available.
There's a vacancy available.
We'll discuss pay later.
But definitely developing, obviously, yourself, your sense of self-worth, and accepting who you are, everything that you've accomplished, and everything that, you know, you are, the way you look, the way you dress,
yeah.
Your quirks, embrace your uniqueness.
Yeah.
Yeah, no two people are the same person. And I think you just need to accept that, like, you are who you are.
Yeah.
You are the way you are. Even if you have flaws in your eyes, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Again, like we touched upon, Allah made all of us beautiful creations.
Yeah.
And we need to accept that, and that, you know, this is who we are, and, you know, we work with that.
I just want to touch base on referring back to, cosmetically not being content with yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like if you feel like you need to make that change to be happy about yourself, then 100% go for it.
No, definitely. Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people are, their self-consciousness is over the roof.
Mm.
Like, if, for example, their nose or their lips aren't a certain way, that's going to bother them forever. Like, people,
it's always being constantly questioned
in regards to that one thing.
My only worry about something like that is, like, where does it end? Like, yeah, fine. Yeah. You're thinking, I'm conscious about my nose and everything.
Yeah.
So where does it end? Like, what, you know, you change your nose, then you think, my lips are small. You change your lips, my height, or my face, my makeup, and all that stuff. So it's just never ending.
Yeah.
So where does it end? And that's my worry with that. And that's what I would question as a person. Is that, fine, yes, there's parts of you where maybe your nose, where you might want to change your nose.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just accept that for who you are. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe, yeah, fine, physically you might think, I want to be slimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe go do gym. Yeah. You don't have to then, you know, pay super money to get something changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try and embrace it, go gym, and I think have the healthy
that
lifestyle.
Whole feeling of going through that difficulty will feel so much better, because you feel like you've earned it. You've worked hard for it as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see where you're coming from. Yeah.
I think obviously figure out and understand why it is that you're seeking the approval of others, and learn. So obviously, again, love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And that's the thing, I think, with seeking approval of others, it's just a cycle.
It goes back to, obviously, going right back to the beginning of everything, the cause of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, like I just touched upon, it's like, I think it's a never-ending cycle. Like, you know, you might think, oh, if I have X, Y, Z, people will approve me. But then you have that, and then people then want something else, and then you keep doing that. It's just, you're going to be in this constant cycle, and you never please everyone.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And then it will get to a point where people start saying, you know, you're not who you are. You're not a genuine person. Yeah. You're different. And that's what I mean. You'll never find happiness in trying to please everyone.
Please everyone. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Do you know, an issue that I had when I was suffering from social anxiety was the fact that I would always think thoroughly about what would happen if I went and done something or said something to someone. And I'd start thinking, do you know what? People won't be interested in what I've got to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not interested in my story, you know.
You feel like they don't pay attention to
that. Being said, a big, I think, cause for my social anxiety was actually in uni, because
forced to work with others. Is that what
not even that, but like on my course, I don't feel like I've ever fit in to my course, just because I think everyone on my course is just quite different. To me, when I first started uni, actually, I was on a planning course.
Yeah.
And after that, I transferred onto the architecture course after my first year. And because obviously we'd done the same modules, they allowed me to go into the second year for that.
Yeah.
But by the time I went onto the second year for that, everyone on that course had already made their friendship groups in, you know, year one, innit? So I was just there like...
Four times was just like...
Like...
I can relate to that.
You know...
When I was at uni, I had the same situation.
Yeah.
And it's a bit... lonely.
Yeah.
It's that you just feel out of place. And
even stuff when it came down to, you know, going to societies and stuff like that, I would miss the introductory society session, and then I'll be like, well, I can't go to the second one now, can I? Because you know, they all know each other. I can't just walk in and be like, yeah, hey, what's going on? But obviously you can you know, everyone is there for the sole purpose of getting to know people and getting to meet people. And going back to obviously the cafe and everything, you've got to make that step to, you know, try better yourself in the situation that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you got to take those small steps.
Yeah.
Like, you got to put yourself out there a bit more. It's a big thing to do, but see the positives. Like, what's the worst thing that will happen? You go out there, you put yourself out there, and you don't find yourself or you don't find the crowd you want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You're back to square one, that's fine. You can then try again, look elsewhere.
Yeah. It's the attempts that matter. It's like you said, the baby steps will lead up to that eventual change.
Yeah, it's not an overnight process.
No, definitely not.
But guys, don't lose hope.
Yeah.
Mm. Again, I think something else that we covered when we were just talking casually was the meditation stuff.
You'll be surprised. Yeah.
Even like you mentioned on the Apple Watch, innit? Like our heart's beating really fast. Then we get this little message saying, "We didn't chill out, breathe."
Yeah. Yeah. It literally just says, breathe. It's time for you to breathe.
And we do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That's a little 1 minute form of meditation. Yeah. But if you guys aren't aware, there is obviously, if you guys have Spotify, there's Headspace. You get Headspace for free.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay for Spotify.
Yeah.
Or obviously you can,
just YouTube tutorial.
Yeah, you can YouTube, meditation from 1 minute to 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 60 minutes.
I think one thing we can all like relate to is when you do become anxious, everything around you it's like your whole world kind of flips over.
You know what, bro? This meditation stuff, when I first came across it, I was a bit like, yo, that's...
It's a bit like...
Meditation, you know? What am I going to be sitting
like... I'm going to be doing up on in my room.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom comes in like, okay, I'm leaving. What's going on here?
But it's actually worth doing, you know? Yeah. You find so much inner peace and you feel calm. 100%.
It's worth trying. If you guys haven't done it, it's definitely no harm, worth trying.
Like, if you're in your own space, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't work for you. Nobody's watching you and judging you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were, so what?
And if anything, it's a step towards, again, your self-development and the road to you getting better.
What works for you, now,
Yeah. And that's something that you mentioned last time. You've got to try stuff out. You've got to get out there. 100%. Even go out of your comfort zones.
Yeah.
And just
venture out, man. That's it. Yeah.
That being said, it's like, you know when you're praying, and it's such a sincere prayer as well, to the point where you're like crying, and then someone's coming up the stairs and you're just like...
No,
have you seen that meme where the tears just go? No,
I feel, man. I don't know why that happens. You know, I think
it's mad because when you hear your mom's footsteps coming up,
and only that when it's my mom, she's like, I know she'll ask me, why are you crying?
Yeah,
what was it? And she's like,
it's a bit of a sticky one still.
Because I'll be there. I'll be like, Yalla, you're the most merciful. Please, Yalla, forgive all my sins. I'm going in with the dua.
Yeah.
My mom was just there like, is this really you right now? When did you get here?
But yeah, I think something else that someone else mentioned when obviously messaging us was a big cause to their social anxiety is when they're starting a new school, starting a new uni, you know, moving even away to another country, or generally just they're just in a new environment. How would you tackle that?
I think it's really difficult, like you're technically leaving everything that you've known up until that point behind, and you're basically venturing out to a new place.
Again, it goes back to your comfort zone, doesn't it? Yeah. Especially like I remember after... year 11 and year 12, obviously we went sixth form, but after year 12 you're a bit like, yo, like now I'm not gonna see everyone that I've seen like every day. You don't know what's out there.
You like, start stressing like, I'm gonna have to make new friends. Like, how do I do that? It does get really difficult though, but then again it's like it depends on how confident you are as an individual. I feel like if you're an outgoing extrovert, that whole phase of making new friends just becomes so much easier for you. Yeah. And adapting to that new environment, you will do it within seconds.
Like for me, my current workplace, I've only been here about 6 months. Like when I first started, you know, it was hard for me. Like I just thought, okay, it's new people, what do I talk about? But like, naturally, like one thing is people around you will make that effort, conscious effort.
Yeah.
And I think you got to take that approach. So when they're approaching you, talking about things, rather than giving, I'm okay, yeah, thanks, like short answers, try and make a conversation out of it and naturally you feel more comfortable and you realise, you know what, these people ain't bad.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, they're here to help you work with you and get along with you.
Yeah.
They're not here to sort of undermine you.
I think all this little pep talk as well, you kind of realise how much in common you have with that individual as well. You realise like there's a lot more similarities with the people you're around than you would ever known. Because I didn't know, when, for example, when we started working, I didn't know you were into fashion. I didn't know, like, that was your go-to. I didn't know you were a hype piece. And we, like, that little pep talk that we
made
kind of got us engaging into that conversation about fashion, where
You find common grounds with people, don't
100%,
you?
Yeah,
like you touched on that, like something like that. Like, we're see you in a new environment, right? Yeah. And you know, you're not getting along with the people because you haven't put yourself out there.
Yeah,
there might be people there that have same hobbies as you,
mm-hmm.
and that will make you feel sort of, I guess, more welcomed. You feel more sort of as a part of a group, yeah. Right? But you won't know that until you make that step.
Yeah.
So when you're feeling alone and isolated, there's people there potentially that might feel the same way, yeah. And have the same hobbies and.
Yeah.
Again, I think that step is putting yourself out there.
Yeah,
I think a big thing for me, though, was, you know, with this uni stuff where I didn't feel like I fit in to them. I tried to get to know people on my course.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that, obviously, when they aren't willing to obviously give you a chance, then you kind of...
Take a step back and go.
Yeah, and then you're a bit like, well, okay, maybe this is a me thing. Maybe...
Maybe
because of the way that I am, you're questioning why don't they want to get to know me, even though I'm putting all this effort into, you know. Like, I'm not trying to be friends with people. Yeah. Like,
you know,
but if I'm on the same course as you, like,
you know,
let's be civil at least, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be people out there that naturally won't get along with you.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't obviously force everyone to like you.
That being said, 5 years at uni, and all I do is go in, do my work and come back out and go home.
That's it.
Like, that's it. Sometimes you gotta just do that, innit? Like,
yeah.
That being said, though, obviously at the start I was a bit like, actually on my first course I had mates on there, but then I changed and then it became a bit like lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd go into uni and then I didn't go to these societies, even though I signed up for them and everything. I was getting emails from them, but I learned to accept that, okay, fine, you know what, I've got friends outside of there, and I get on with people outside, especially at work, and you know, my inner friend group that I met in school and everything. I accepted that, fine, you know what, I don't need it at uni. I can see
what you mean. Like, it does make your life a bit easier if you do have friends at uni.
But then people are going through this at work, though.
But that's the thing, you know, see, as this, you don't always have to fit in everywhere. Like, you know, if you got...
I think a lot of people feel like as if they're entitled to fit in to a certain environment.
Yeah.
Like you said, you don't... There's not going to be people that are automatically going to want to be your friends. Yeah. You're not always going to fit in with certain individuals. So you need to be cautious of that fact that some people just don't want to talk to you. They don't want to engage conversations with you.
Sometimes you've got to think, you know what, there's people out there that you don't get along with, right? So naturally... There'll be people out there that won't get along with you. So, you know, you can't always go around pleasing everybody and trying to be friends with everyone. Like, you know, you got to accept that's just how life is.
For me, that's one thing that used to bug me a lot, because I was like, I used to overthink, be like, why doesn't this person want to talk to me? Like, what have I done to them? For them to, like, not want to engage in a conversation with me, or for them to dislike me. And that thought process will go in my head the entire day, like, I'm so confused. But maybe that's just a person.
I used to blame
myself, but maybe that's just how that person is.
Exactly. They might have difference in opinions, different views. Like, that's just, you know, that's just how it is. That's just life.
Yeah.
I think for those of you that are obviously overthinking a lot and have a lot of thoughts about how you're feeling and how, you know, other people are perceiving you and stuff like that, I think you touched on it, you know, a few minutes ago about writing down stuff and keeping a journal. And I think that's such a good idea when you're... And when I was in school, I actually used to... I used to do poetry and then I used to write, obviously, raps and everything like that. And when you write, regardless of what form of writing you're doing, you're really delving quite deep into your own feelings and trying to find the right words to figure out exactly what it is that you're going through. So I would definitely suggest for you guys to do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's a log of how you're feeling. You can look back on it the next day. You can look back on it the next week. And then... Imagine how you feel once you've overcome all of this.
Yeah.
And then you look back on your whole... From where you was to where you are now, you'll see it as one of the biggest accomplishments that you've ever made in your life.
It's a pat on the back. You'll be like, if I could face through that adversity, imagine what else I could overcome in the future.
Definitely, bruv.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And then obviously writing down your goals.
Yeah. You know? One thing, sorry, bro. I'm going to say is like, always kind of reflect on where you will see yourself within 10 years. Yeah. I think for me, that was something that kind of initiated that motivation to excel, because in my head, I was at a standstill. I didn't know necessarily where I wanted to be within 10 years, but allowing your goals and aspirations to drive you, it kind of puts you at a place where you can identify where you see yourself in 10 years, if you know what I mean. Mm. Yeah.
I guess that ties in with, like, the whole sort of, you know, being socially awkward and socially anxious.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, okay, if I want to get to here, if, like, I don't know, if I want to be a doctor, I know I need to communicate with people, patients.
Yeah.
You know, and for me to achieve that, I need to sort of put myself out there.
Yeah.
So I think that ties in quite well, where, you know, you realise, okay, if I want to get to this position, whether it's career or my life, I need to change aspects about me to get there.
Yeah. It's like you need to make those baby steps to gain those interpersonal skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously cherish the moments that you are alone. You know, take advantage of the fact that you can go and do stuff on your own and use that to figure out who you are and what you want. And then you learn a lot about yourself as well. Like, go on holiday, you know, go, like, Hanandan, you went and saw, like 7 countries in the past.
Madness, bro. When it hit me, I was, do you know what the thing is?
Man, like Phineas Fogg around the world in 80 days.
Bro, that's it. Because the thing is, you're surrounding yourself with a group of friends that you know you're going to have a good time with. And once you're out
positive vibes.
Yeah, exactly. And once you're out there exploring new cultures, having, like, potentially making the best memories with the right people, it's just such a good feeling. And, like, you know, in that position, you're not going to be thinking about anything else.
You know what
other
than
that trip?
Obviously, like I mentioned in the last part, that I went to Bangladesh. And during that period, it was obviously the peak of my depression, peak of my anxiety. I was in the worst possible position I've ever been in. And just before we went to Bangladesh, we went to Dubai, then Bangladesh. We went to Dubai, I booked, like, skydiving. All things, always wanted to do skydiving, though.
That's on the
bucket list. But imagine being so depressed and so, you know, anxious, going through the mental issues that I was going through. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to
skydive.
But you know what? If you want to do it. Because the amount of joy at the thought of me being able to do what I really want to do, regardless of how flipping crazy it sounds, you know, it is...
You get that thrill and excitement from it. And I think in a position where you're so low and you're in a dark place, something like that could help you, like, get, you know, give you that sort of happiness.
It goes back to, I think, even like retail therapy and stuff like that. Just doing little things for yourself just to make yourself feel a little bit better.
One thing I've acknowledged is that people don't take up these opportunities when they arise. So, for example, if you and me want to go on holiday, Saeed might be like, oh, I don't know if I want to go on that holiday. So it might be like, it might be a case that he missed out on that opportunity and later on he might have that regret. So it's like, you have to make sure that you make the most of these opportunities that arise in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should move to the next one.
Yeah.
That being said, my skydiving didn't work. If you guys were wondering.
Sandstorm came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was a bit mad, man. Like, I booked it £400. £400, man. I went 5 a.m. in the morning.
Wait, you booked it the wrong day, though. Tell them about that.
I'm getting it, bruv. Yeah, well, I was first in the queue, went there, and I said, yeah, man, I'm here to skydive. It's like, well, obviously, you're in a skydiving place. But, and then I gave him my name. He's like, what, your name's not on here? Showed him the email. I'm like, boss man, what are you chatting about? Like, look at that. Then he's like, this is for tomorrow. I'm like, what? I go home tonight. And then and then I'm like, you got to do something, innit?
Yeah.
And he's like, why have I got to do something? You're the one that booked it wrong. I'm like, please. But he said, okay, go on, jump onto obviously the waiting list. I was first on the waiting list.
Yeah.
So if anyone didn't turn up, I'd be able to go. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I was there from 5 a.m. to 12 noon.
At
the skydiving place, because no one got the chance to go. No, because I think what was it? Oh, high winds. Mad winds. And obviously, when you're parachuting, you don't want to end up, like, you jump out top of Dubai, you end up in flipping...
Qatar.
Yeah, you don't want that, bro. Yeah, and then by the time that that wind had, you know, obviously got better.
Imagine your mum's waiting.
It was too hot. It was like 45 degrees, bruv.
No way.
Then they're like, yeah, we can't do it. Everyone got a refund, so, yeah. But we, I don't know why that sort of made it there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you also mentioned someone approached you about...
Oh, yeah. I got a message from a sister. She replied saying... what does Islam have? Does Islam have a correlation with anxiety and depression?
Yeah.
Do you think one's iman has a relation with an individual being depressed? And I think that's a very, like, very sensitive topic to touch on because, like Saeed said, you can be doing the bare minimum of praying 5 times a day, which is your farz, and question Allah for saying, why am I not getting this satisfaction? Like, I'm doing what you asked me. So why am I not getting any solution out of this? And like Saeed said, it's more than just praying 5 times a day. You need to find that connection with Allah and you need to know more about your religion in order to gain that contentment. I think do you want to further out onto that?
I do agree. I think for me what worked was, again, like what a lot, like we touched on in the last podcast, was what worked for me was trying to, like, you know, understand Islam, what it says, its teachings, reading the Quran, understanding the meanings. And there were parts in the Quran where I read and I could relate to. And it's as if, like, it gave me answers and it told me, you know what, like, be patient with the way things are.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what, I started understanding, you know what, like, this isn't, you know, a quick fix. It's not something that will just, you know, fix straight away. And there's no real sort of, what's the word, there's no real... solution to it. You know, it's something that you need to work on with yourself.
Yeah.
And Islam's there to help you get through it.
Yeah.
And I started noticing even the small things, like just praying and reading the Quran, and like it gave me so much inner peace.
Yeah.
And I felt so comfortable.
That itself is a form of meditation.
Yeah. It's just like exactly as it is. And and what happened for me was that where I felt emptiness in me, I felt like just reading the Quran, the prayer, devout myself to Islam, filled that void within me.
Yeah.
And I felt happiness and like where when I used to pray, right, and when I was going through depression, is that I struggled to like have that emotional connection.
Yeah.
And when I started reading the Quran and all of this started sort of falling into place, you know, I would start welling up.
Yeah.
And just like listening to the Quran or watching videos and you know, it's just put everything into perspective, and I realized, you know what, like there's so much more out there for me to think about, worry about. Am I doing enough as a Muslim?
Yeah.
You know, to feel like, you know, I'm happy or I'm going to be in a good place in the hereafter.
It's like tawakkul, having that trust within Allah and knowing that things will eventually get better. He's the best of planners, and he's written your life out in a way that he knows that you're going to overcome those difficulties that you face in your life. Like, he wouldn't put you through those challenges because he knows that you're going to be strong enough to overcome any adversity that you face.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, again, we touched up on that that last time.
Yeah.
Again, I think one thing we all know is obviously, like, you know, how this dunya is temporary. We're not here to find happiness in this world. And I think always reflect on that is that if you're living, you've got the perfect life in this world and you're not having these difficulties, question yourself, where are you in terms of your deen?
Yeah.
Are you devouring yourself enough? And if you're not, and your life's perfect, just think, you know what, if Allah's given me all the good in this world, what am I going to get in the hereafter?
That's like, the thing. You know. Again, going back to obviously seeking the approval of others, whether it be on social media or, you know, at work or at uni, it's, again, us getting too caught up in this life.
Yeah.
So much to the point where it's, you know, having such a bad effect on our own health, you know?
Yeah, again, I think with the whole approval thing, I think as Muslims, this is for obviously people out there that are Muslims listening, I think the only approval we should really be looking at is our Lord. Because, you know, he put us in this earth, he put us in this world for us to devote ourselves to him, do what's right by our religion.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I started doing was I started giving my time and giving, you know, myself to Islam
mm-hmm.
and my Lord, and you know, trying to make myself a better person.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you take that step, rather than looking to other people for that acceptance, you find it within yourself
yeah.
through Islam.
Because you know you're working towards that end goal of
yeah.
attaining Jannah.
Yeah.
I think one more thing that kind of made my depression a bit more difficult was the fear of death.
Yeah.
I think knowing that you potentially haven't lived up to the standards that Allah has set
for a Muslim. Definitely.
And I think that was so controversial, because you start analysing all these points and you're like, what have I really done for me to be this amazing Muslim that I should be?
Mm.
Mm.
And then you start reflecting, saying that if I was to die tomorrow, what's going to be the consequences of that?
But you know what people find quite frightening about that is they know. You know,
yeah.
deep down, you know that you haven't done enough.
Yeah.
And touching on, obviously, that.
Yeah.
And mentioning, going back to, obviously, when my uncle and my nan passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I go to Garden of Peace, which is the cemetery that they're buried in.
Yeah.
And looking and standing on top of, obviously, the patches that haven't been dug up yet, the potential graves, and looking down and thinking, do you know what? How mad is it that I could potentially be standing on my own grave?
Because,
you know, in Islam, obviously, we have to be buried straight away.
Yeah.
So, potentially, that could be mine.
My grave,
and then I'm thinking, have I done enough?
Mm-hmm. But in that context, one thing that I've really learned to embrace is that death, you can't really fear it. It's going to be in your head. You don't want to go out in a way that...
I think the only reason people are fearing it is because they know they haven't achieved
enough
to
suffice themselves from...
So that's what I mean. I think rather than looking at it in a sort of negative limelight, thinking, you know, I haven't done enough, and letting yourself get worked up and thinking, I don't deserve heaven, I don't deserve the good things.
Yeah.
See, you know what, like, okay, I haven't done enough, let me change that.
Yeah.
If I want to get to somewhere, let me change that about myself, let me become a better person, and let me attain that, you know, contentment, and let me, you know, attain that sort of, you know, strong relationship with my Lord, and you know, then you know at least, okay, I found that happiness because you know what, I'm doing the best I can, and you know, naturally it will come to you.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to touch up on, I know a lot of people out there tend to say that their sins are to such an extent that they feel like they're unforgivable, and I just want to say that Allah said that your sins could peak mountains, and I will forgive you if you make that intention that you want to change and you want to become a better Muslim. So I don't want you guys to ever think that what you have done in the past or what you're currently doing will decipher whether you make it to Jannah or not, because your sins can be eradicated as long as you know that you have the intention, the need to become a better Muslim.
It's about your repentance and your intention again, like you said.
Yeah. It's not, obviously, it's not an easy task. Like, you need to make a lot of zikr. You need to be aware. You need to make a promise to yourself and Allah that you've done this mistake and inshallah you're going to try better yourself the next day. For example, if you're smoking a pack of cigarettes today, if you make that intention that you're going to smoke 10 tomorrow, and then you make that next step saying I'm going to smoke 2, and then you eventually come to a point where you've just completely stopped.
Yeah.
So just those little promises that you make to yourself will eventually lead up to you find that contentment. Mm.
Touching on that again, small steps.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be making small steps, which ultimately, obviously, leads to the whole thing being the way that you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to...
I think that covers most of it.
Yeah.
Touch
yeah.
upon.
Yeah. I think that's about it, man.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, what I want to say is, obviously, we'll leave it at that for now. Who knows, we might do a part 3 one day.
Before we do, I think close it off. I think what we should advise people is there is people out there. If it's not people, there's companies out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I want to recommend to people is checking out Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
They're a company where you can just call up. It's free for anyone. You can just talk to a volunteer over the phone. And just talk. If they listen to you, they don't always give you advice. You know, they ain't gonna tell you what you feel is wrong. Mm. And I think it's just a great organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, when I went through it, I think what I needed was somebody to listen to me.
Did you call Samaritans?
No, I actually didn't. I only heard about this recently.
Yeah.
And if I'd known at the time...
I was given the details for Samaritans. Yeah. And it is a name that obviously is the first to pop up.
It pops up a lot, yeah. And I think a big organisation out there. And I think when you're in a position where you don't want to talk to your family and friends or even like go to a therapist, you have that sort of anonymity of being on the phone. They don't know what you look like. They don't know who you are. You can give a fake name for all you care.
Yeah.
And you can have a conversation and sort of let it out.
Yeah.
And I think that will help you in some sense. I think for some people it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes the sort of physical conversations work. And there are charities out there. There are organisations out there. I know there's a few that even have let you stay over. Mm-hmm. And they have like, they sit together as a group.
Group therapy. Group therapy.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot out there. And I think if you guys make that step to look and put yourself out there, you know, you'll find a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worth looking into these things.
I'm touching on that. Again, you guys can talk to us as much as you want.
Yeah.
But like Saeed said, these people are professionals. They are out there for the sole purpose of obviously listening to you and what you've got to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they can probably advise you better than we can.
Yeah. Lastly, I just want to say that for us as individuals, giving up seems like the most viable and easy solution.
Mm.
But you need to know that each and every single one of us are remarkable human beings. Our potential to achieve things is inadequate. There's no limit to what we can possibly achieve. And for you to be able to go through this tough journey now, to come to the light at the end of the tunnel, will be the most rewarding factor. And if you go and face this adversity that you're facing now, you'll realize it will transform you into such a strong, motivated, thick-skinned individual that from that moment in your life, nothing will ever faze you again. And I just want to say, like, just have trust in yourself. Make those baby steps. Perseverance is so essential because you can't expect things to change within one day. Have that patience. Have that drive to go forward. And if you do find it necessary to talk to people, there are people there that are going to help you out. And if not, us three are always going to be available.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add on, T?
Yeah, again, guys, don't be so harsh on yourselves. You know, we all go through stuff and there's no set way of doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, do things that you do enjoy, make yourself feel better, treat yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Take it slow. Yeah. You know, it's not a race.
Yeah.
And
it's like you're your number one priority.
Yeah.
You are.
You are. Like, don't put other people's opinions and feelings above yours, because you need to work on yourself first.
Yeah. And then face your fears. And again, go back to and recognize what the sole purpose of how you're feeling is, the catalyst to your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And once you figure that out, then you know exactly where to start with making that change in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll leave it at that. Again, guys, if you do want to get a hold of us, I'll stick our socials down. We are here, you know, if you guys do want to speak to us. And it is overwhelming, again, the amount of support that we've had. I know Saeed's had loads of people approach him about being able to relate to his, and people approaching me about mine and Hanan about his. And if you guys can relate to this, obviously.
Yeah,
and again, I think if any of this stuff doesn't benefit you, do let us know.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're not saying these are the only answers. There's a lot more out there. So if it doesn't help you and you guys are in a bit of a predicament, you can reach out to us.
We
can try to help you and, you know.
I would say, like, just share it in case. Because a person who might be facing through this difficulty might be someone that you know. And if they can see this, it will mean a lot to us and to them.
That goes back to, obviously, us knowing people personally and not knowing that they're going through, you know, mental health issues.
Yeah.
Like, we all put on a front on social media. No one knows what's behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us have had thoughts of self-harm, you know, suicide, wanting to die, you know, and you wouldn't be able to tell. Everyone that saw me at work or everyone that saw me at uni had no idea what I was going through.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, in all honesty, when I first perceived you, I was like, this guy seems like he's...
Do you know what? When I first met you was probably the time where it all started.
Yeah.
Actually.
And that's crazy, because that's probably like the peak of it all.
Yeah. Have you noticed a difference in me
over the past month? I feel like...
Because obviously, from the moment that I met you, is when my anxiety had become obviously severe. And then I slowly started falling into that severe depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then the past month and a half,
I've
just snapped out of it. Alhamdulillah, I've got so much better.
I feel like you've become some sort of extrovert again.
Yeah.
You built that self-confidence within yourself to reach out and to be who you are. You're embracing, look, mashallah, like you're
this you is built exactly,
this podcast, bro. This is your baby now.
Yeah. You're my baby too, bro.
Gotta go.
Hannah's not showing up for the next one either.
No, but like,
no, but definitely, yeah.
This is like, for you, this is a big achievement, bro.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that me and Saeed are both proud of.
Yeah.
And we could say that you've made this step, because you technically left your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Would you have seen yourself in a camera last year at this position and time?
Definitely not. Again, this is something that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah. And you made that approach to
pursue with the video, with the filmmaking stuff. I've got so many plans now.
Yeah.
And I've always had these plans.
Yeah.
And obviously, the anxiety and the depression put a halt on that.
Mm-hmm.
And now me making that step to obviously want to do it, getting the equipment and going, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of built your motivation and drive to excel, man.
Definitely. Like, again, going back to doing stuff that you really enjoy and stuff that you want to do, regardless of what other people think. You know, there might be people out there that are a bit like, okay, you know, why is he...
Like you say, we give up a lot of opportunities because we're worried about other people's thoughts. Because me personally, I wanted to do this podcast thing, but I was like, my friends, like, they know how I am. Are they going to, like, think it's crappy, or is it going to be good? But you need to put that all to a side, because this is something that makes you happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is something that you've been meaning to do. So why prevent your dreams from becoming a reality?
The way I saw it is, I wanted to do this regardless of if anyone sees it or listens to it or likes it or whatever. It's something that I want to do. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not trying to gain anything from it, but the fact that, obviously, the first topic was something that was really close to my heart and your heart and yours.
Mm-hmm.
And creating that awareness, you know, it gives me a sense of pride that, especially after getting the feedback that we've gotten, I feel like, do you know what? It's helping so many people, even though I didn't expect it to help that much.
Yeah. And again, I think, you know what? People can take, you know, a lot from this. You know, they can be inspired by what you've done. You know, you can show that, you know, you were in a bad place, but here you are chasing, pursuing what you want to do. And I think, It's a story within itself. And I think people should look at you and feel inspired. You know, just believe me, but like the amount of time you spent for the past year and you weren't really up for coming out, you weren't really sort of doing what you do enjoy, because, you know, we used to always do photography, going out doing shoots, and you even cut down on that, and look where you are now. And I think, you know, people can look at that and feel as if, you know,
that's an
accomplishment.
If he
can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. There's no reason no one else can.
Exactly.
And if anything, everyone's got the potential to do so much more. You know, what I'm doing is nothing compared to, the way I feel is nothing compared to the stuff that a lot of you can do.
Yeah.
You can all accomplish greater things,
yeah,
to be honest. You just gotta make that step and do it.
Yeah. Just one last thing that I wanted to just
do it. You're ready.
Go on.
I just want to say, as friends, do you have that obligation to check up on your friends?
Definitely.
Because you can't really tell what someone's facing. Like you said, everyone's put on this fake persona to hide away their feelings and emotions. So every once in a while, do check up on your friends, because they might be going through that tough phase in their life. And you just talking to them might just stop them from having that difficulty.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially, those friends that you know are going through hard times. You know, and the hard times and the dark times, just remind them and show them without being obviously overwhelming and, you know, too up in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Just show them that there are blessings in their life.
Yeah.
You know, there are good things.
Yeah.
And
remind them of their aspirations and dreams and kind of, in a sense, motivate that individual to become who they want to be.
Yeah, definitely touching up on obviously what you said about surrounding yourself with people that benefit you in the long run.
Like, I want to see how my guys being ballers.
But so we'll leave it at that. I want to thank obviously Saeed and Hanan for being part of this. Saeed again is going to be part of future podcasts as well, because why would
I thought you letting me go? No,
I mean, if you guys don't want to see me. But I thought, just obviously looking at this pretty face over here, why would you not want to see this?
That's true, that's true.
But,
Wait.
But, it's that camera there, because that one's died. Till then, guys. Till then, let's deep it. And I just want to say before that, obviously, the next podcast will be on the topic of preparing for Ramadan, because obviously Ramadan is just around the corner. I want to make it as beneficial as possible for you guys and for me, obviously, to take full advantage of obviously the month that we've got coming up.
Yeah.
And
just to touch on that, I think if anyone is working within a charity or any sort of organization during Ramadan, do reach out to us. I think it will be beneficial to have somebody in that field to, you know, come on and talk about your work and maybe even help others to get interact and get involved with the work.
Voluntary work, yeah.
100%. If you guys do want to get in contact with us again, please do so. And till then,
see you guys, let's deep it. Next episode.